got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap. We are your steadiest stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the greatest band in the world. We call them the Hold Steady. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike, and I feel insecure using my silly little moniker today, and you'll find out real soon here. But I thought it'd be best if I stayed in the upper Midwest, so that's what I've been doing. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Casper. Casper, how you doing today?
I'm doing real good, man. We got a killer guest today. Do you want to introduce him? Should I introduce him? You want to let Craig introduce him?
Yeah, I think, you're going to find out why our monikers are a little silly because we got the biggest moniker of them all. Maybe we could have Craig introduce him.
All right. Well, Craig, why don't you tell us who's going to be on the show today?
Mosh Pit Josh!
That's right, Mosh Pit Josh. I've been looking forward to this show for a long time.
Yeah, man. This is going to be awesome. So you want to jump right into it?
Yeah, let's get into it and see what Mosh Pit Josh has to say.
Let's go.
Josh, you said you've been riding bike. Did you get your bike ride in today? Or?
Yeah, I got a good 17 miles in today. All right.
You got 17 miles? Wow. So like, how do you guys in New York, that's what I always ask, how do you ride your bikes? Are you like a bike messenger going on the street, hanging out of bumpers? Are you going down trails or what's, how's that?
Well, fun fact, I actually live in the suburbs of Western Massachusetts. I don't live anywhere near Brooklyn.
Excellent. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't end up with these guys from being a local. I got hired on by another crew guy that I worked with before and latched on with them, and it was like 14 years ago. So
14 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I started with them in the Stay Positive Tour Cycle 2008.
So like how did that come about? Like, so you got your friend got you hooked up? I mean,
yeah, so my buddy Craig McQuiston, or as we all affectionately know as Q or McQ, he was actually a box truck driver on the very first his very first tour on the road, like working professionally, was driving a box truck for this band Thursday, which I was doing merch for. So fast forward like 5 years later, he's TMing the Hold Steady. He's like, "Hey, need a pro merch guy for these guys. Why don't you hop on to these guys?" And I'm like, "Who?" I'd only heard them like once or twice before, and I was like, if this is a band that can afford to pay me to go on the road, sure, I'm in. And then I hopped on and like was like, damn, this is a good band, man, you know, still here. So
so that's how you got into the merch side of it. So then so how did the Mosh Pit Josh part of it come about? Like, how did you, I think everybody knows you get on stage for Stay Positive and you do.
Yeah.
How did that all come about?
So the Mosh Pit thing came from, again, like, this was kind of early on, in our guitar tech at the time, back then, Dusty, like we became pretty fast friends, you know, we'd be doing the load ins and outs and stuff together and stuff. And up until working for the Hold Steady, I'd worked for mostly like hardcore metal bands. I'd been doing like Hatebreed, Thursday, Shadows Fall, Killswitch. So it's all like, you know, heavy stuff. So he's just like, "Hey, Mosh Pit, why don't you help me load the trailer?" And it was like one of those things. And he just started calling me Mosh Pit, and it kind of stuck. I didn't start doing the song with them until several years later. And then it turned into whatever it is now. Like, it still confuses me. I'm just walking down the street and somebody like Mosh Pit Josh. I'm like,
How did it come about that you started doing Stay Positive with them?
So I think it was 2012. I toured with them pretty consistently up through like the Teeth Dream cycle. And then they kind of stopped touring regularly. And I actually quit touring. I didn't, that in quotes for those. So I was at a time when like I wasn't touring anymore, and like the whole city wasn't really full time touring anymore. And that's when I decided to get the old logo guy here.
All right.
And I was like, "Oh, they're not touring that much anymore. I'm not touring anymore. It's not like I'm going to be the dude standing at the Hold Steady merch table with a Hold Steady tattoo on my freaking arm. That's never going to happen." I rolled. So they played a show at the Iron Horse in Northampton, Massachusetts, which is like the next town over from me. And on the encore break, and it was like this shitty club run by a shitty dude, Eric Sewer, worst promoter in America. so like, it's harder to get to the dressing room than it is to just go outside from the stage for the encore break. So everybody kind of pops outside during the encore break, and like those of us who smoke cigs at the time kind of ripped a cig. And Dusty goes, "Hey, Craig, check it. Look where Mosh Pit got." And like grabs my arm and puts it in his face. He's like, "Oh, cool. We're about to go Stay Positive. You want to do the bridge?" I'm like, "Cool. What's the second line of that?" He's like, "I can't remember either." I'm like, "All right, I'll wing it." And I just like jumped up and took Steve's mic and just did it. And like the dozen or so of like my friends in the room were like, "Holy shit, this is awesome." And like the other like few hundred were like, "What the fuck is this?" And then kind of fast forward to when Teeth Dreams come out. I'm sorry. Yeah, when Teeth Dreams came out, 2014, they hired me back. And we started doing that like every night on the tour. And that was like a 7-week tour. And that's kind of when I started doing. And like every night we did that like in the encore. And I'd like run up there and like run back to the t-shirt stand. And it was kind of like more confusing at first. But like people started to latch onto it. And now it's kind of a thing, you know, and
right.
It's a lot of fun and I love doing it. And, I'm glad kind of people have caught onto it. Like there's less like kind of like horrified looks on people's faces. Although I gotta say in Australia, they weren't expecting it. I don't think they were ready for that. Like I got the WTF faces from Australia at that than I have since like back in the Teeth Dreams days. So right. that was actually kind of a lot of fun.
But, that's cool.
Now it makes it into the set like once or twice a weekend, and it's a blast. And I still, you know, I love doing it. I'm glad the guys let me do that.
That's like the first time I ever saw you, I think, was at Brooklyn Bowl. And my first impression, like you jumped up on stage, and this must have been like 2017. I was like, wow, is that the guy from Dropkick Murphys? I don't know why I thought that. Because everybody got excited. I go, he must be famous.
He must be from Irish guy jumps up. He must be from Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah. And then I go, he also kind of looks like the merch guy a lot. So, but
well, it's kind of like you're like the Ben Carr of the Hold Steady Now, like from Mighty Mighty Ball Stones.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, it's I've got a lot of weird ones. Someone asked me if I was in like Blood for Blood. Somebody thought I was like, "Are you in Sheer Terror?" I'm like, "You think I'm fucking Paul Bearer?" Like, get out of here. Like, I mean, I don't look anything like him. He's like 20 years older than me. Like, I mean, I appreciate the comp, you know, legendary hardcore frontman, but I'm just a t-shirt salesman, you know, like I used to work for hardcore bands and used to play in them too.
So now do you have anything to do with the designs of a t-shirt?
Yes, I have a lot to do with that. Like I don't actually do the graphic design because I'm like, I mean, as you could tell by when we were setting up for this podcast, technically not super savvy. So what I do is I come up with ideas and actually this is kind of funny. I have a little like notebook and I literally like will draw things like I know this is not going to help anybody like just listening, but here's the drawing of when I came up with the shirt for the Isle of New York shirt for
that's cool.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. I really drew this and sent like I drew like what I kind of wanted and like just sent it to like our actual graphic designer who's probably like, "Are you effing kidding me?" Like, and then he just takes my, you know, little sketches and turns them into like actual t-shirt designs. And I go, "Cool." And then, yeah, like I do all the quantities, all the ordering and, all the kind of behind the scenes stuff for the merch. So it's not just me posting up at the t-shirt stand. It's kind of organizing everything on the back end too.
So then who came up with the Mosh Pit Josh t-shirt?
That was Gottlieb. very flattering. It was very flattering. Still kind of confused with the design. I'm still like wondering like what was wrong with my legs and where my torso was. Like, and also like, yeah, I didn't even know about it till like I opened the box. Like I got to Brooklyn and I'm like, okay, here's the Brooklyn Bowl shirt for this year. And then Mosh Pit. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like the first time I saw it was when I opened up the box. I'm like, okay, who did this? Like,
I remember that night because like people were ordering the shirt and you were kind of rolling your eyes like, oh.
like I hate to be like, oh god, like it's like it's extremely flattering, but it's also like, I don't know if surreal is the right word, but it's like, how am I on a freaking t-shirt? Like what? So yeah, it's a lot of weirdness, but you know, it's good weird.
So which is your favorite t-shirt design then?
I mean, it might be the Turtle Lovers, you know,
that is
one,
a good one.
Pretty fantastic.
They turned that around pretty quick. I mean, the turtle incident happened and then all of a sudden we had t-shirts like really quick there. Is it?
Oh yeah. We had a conversation with an actual graphic artist, you know, Nick Holloman, who did all the, a lot of the artwork for Open Door Policy. And he actually used a turtle that looked like all those characters that were on the line of merch we made for the Open Door Policy record release. And by 10 a.m. the next morning, at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, we actually had a design, like fully designed, sent to our merch company on sale. And we sold a lot of those within a 24-hour period.
Yeah, wow. That's a popular one. And
a different color scheme for last year's Brooklyn Bowl. So I was a big fan of that, the Seattle Supersonics rip I did.
Oh.
Like, as you know, like I kind of do a lot of city specific designs, which can be, it's a lot of fun. Usually goes over pretty well. Sometimes not so much. Like for example, one year for London, I put the Union, put the like Stay Positive logo on the Union Jack. And some people were like, not a lot of, you know, UK pride going on these days with Brexit and all this stuff. And I was like, oh shit. Like, sometimes you don't think about these things or whatever. So more often than not, it does work out.
Right. I love the Moby Dick shirt. That's one of my favorites.
Oh yes. That was, that was Finn's idea.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. So it used to be like this is dive bar across the street from First Avenue. And I think anybody like old enough or like remembers it, will get it and we'll sell a bunch of them. And true to form, we did. So it's kind of fun doing those like kind of like almost inside, you know, things. But, you know, again, with this band, there's a lot of like, you know, inside, not necessarily inside jokes, but like, you know, insider comings and goings, you know.
Right.
So, Josh, I was just wondering, so like you travel with this band, how many continents and countries or time zones has this band taken you to? Have you been with them?
I mean, I know we just went to Melbourne. So pretty much with these guys, I've just done Australia, UK, and then US and Canada.
Wow.
I was supposed to do a full Europe tour with them, but it was 2008. I would say 2008. And the tour got canceled. Someone had some health problems. Can't remember exactly what happened. But we ended up only rescheduling the UK part of the tour. So I did miss out on my full Europe tour with these guys. And that was probably the last time they were going to do a full Europe tour anyway. So I don't imagine that happening anytime soon. But I'm not mad about, you know, not going to, you know, 30 cities in 30 days anymore. Right. No, this current tour model or like road model they have is I'm a huge fan of.
I was going to say that's a great way to tour. I mean, I could see a lot of bands wanting to do that, and it's kind of brilliant.
Yep. Any of you guys ever, I mean, I know you guys have been to some of those like soundcheck parties, but you know, that almost always comes up, and you know, someone's just like, I'm surprised nobody else is like, you know, doing what we're doing, you know, this much anymore or like, but, I don't know, some people like just getting in the bus and going for a few months.
Right.
I'd rather get in a plane and sit in a hotel for 3 days and come home and back to my regular life.
Right. And it's awesome as a fan because, like, you get to go to another city and on top of going and seeing the band, like, now you get to explore the city. Like, it makes it a great experience.
It definitely has its ups and downs. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, in the, you know, smaller markets, like, you know, why can't you come here or there? And, you know, that happens everywhere. But also, like, the flip side of it is, like, it's more than just, like, going to a show. Like, as you guys know, it's, like, a whole experience, you know, and like, it's not like they play the same set every night, you know?
Right.
You know, there's like maybe three or four songs they play every single night, and then like maybe, you know, 8 to 10 songs they play 2 out of 3 nights, and then everything else is like once a night. So like you get a full on experience. You know, they have 100-something songs, and right, you know, it's not like they just play the top 15 or 20. You know,
right?
Or like, you know, according to, you know, Spotify or whatever, you know, algorithm you want to believe is like what their hits are or whatever. But you know,
so you don't think the Bear and the Maiden Fair is their number one song, like Apple's had for 6 years straight?
You know, that makes an appearance once every like 3 years.
Oh, they do play it live?
Have they played it live? I don't think I've ever seen them play it live. That'd be amazing.
They have.
Wow.
I can't remember when, but I remember someone going like, holy shit, I can't believe they're playing this. And like, oh, cool. $25. Like, hey man, I'm in the back working, man.
So give us your craziest or funniest road story.
Oh, Jesus Christ. okay. So let's take it to, Manchester, England in December of 2008. So this was that tour I was talking about where we went to the UK, and it was our first Roadie Friday. And if you're not familiar with what a Roadie Friday is, it's basically, it's if you don't have a show the next day, whatever night that show is Roadie Friday. Okay. Because, you know.
Got the night off.
We'll play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If we have Monday off, then Sunday is Roadie Friday.
Right.
So it was our first time like where we could like, you know, kind of like cut loose after the show and, you know, sleep in the next day. So Dusty, the dude who named me Moshpit, after the show, we load the trailer, we close the trailer. He takes his wallet, puts it in my hand and goes, you're in charge of my life for tonight. I was like, all right, cool. So then we hop in a cab and we're supposed to go to this place called Charlie's Chinese Karaoke. And we get in the cab and we tell the cabbie, and he brings us to the wrong Chinese karaoke bar. And we get out, and Dusty just asks the first person walking by if they know where Charlie's is. And it's a, you know, very attractive young woman. And her boyfriend apparently just took a lot of offense to him asking such a question, saying, hey, do you know where Charlie's is? So I had to they're like, you know, doing this shit, and I had to break them up and like, you know, get into another cab, find Charlie's. We get there, and then a friend of the band says, hey, someone over here has some Molly. Did you party with that? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I was like, I had never done that before. So they hand it to me, and I take the thing and I fucking whip it around and fucking, you know, scoop it all up and fucking throw it in my mouth and put the bag in my pocket. And they're like, hey, can we get the bag back? And I was like, why? It's empty. And they just start laughing. Like, I was like, what are you laughing at? I was like, that wasn't an individual dose. That was the party's dose.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
So my reaction to that was to drink the bar out of Strongbow and Guinness and do some like screaming variations of karaoke. I did, remember I did Living on a Prayer, just like screaming my face off. And I look up and everybody I know is laughing their asses off. And every local is just like stoned on, lost on, staring me down. And I just remember just like sweating and like hanging out a lot on the back fire escape, just chain smoking P-Funks. I'd be like, shit, I need another strong one. That'll help. Needless to say, a little bit of the rest of the night was kind of a blur. And I kind of remember like waking up the next day. And again, we were at Manchester. We're at the campus of the University of Manchester. Like the bus is just parked. And again, like it's December, so classes are in. So I'm kind of dressed like I am now, like a t-shirt and basketball shorts. And I just like walk off the bus and it's fucking freezing. And I just like take a P-Funk and I light it up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be alive. And like people that are walking to class, like, what the fuck is up with this freak? So, you know, I'm like, hey, sorry for partying, guys, but, you know, something about the hold steady almost killed me or something.
It's funny they didn't start calling you Mosh Pit Molly after that or something.
I took it easy with the, you know, the recreational stuff after that. So.
All right.
Oh, so I had a question for you. So yeah, one of, actually this is one of my bigger Mosh Pit Josh. I guess I have a lot of Mosh Pit Josh memories, but Surly Fest in Minneapolis, it was a for Oktoberfest. And it started out as a great day. And then by the time the whole study got on stage, it was really getting really cold.
Freezing.
Yeah, and you took the stage like
festival outdoors in late October in Minneapolis. I mean, it was awesome, and the show was huge, and that was the first time they played in Minneapolis in several years, and it was great.
Yep.
It was also like, I don't know how those dudes were playing guitar for like 2 hours, like feeling their fingers. Like, I was up there for, you know, my 48 seconds of fame. Like, screw this, I'm freezing.
I actually seen a couple during the Super Bowl. It was like 20 below, and they had Bob Mould. I saw him sing in 20 below, and all you know mm-hmm. how he sings so loud, his breath was coming up like a steam engine. And those guys were actually playing the guitar in 20 below. I don't know how they didn't break their strings and stuff, but you look like for that Oktoberfest, you look like you're going to summit Everest. You came out in a big puffy coat, right, and a jet and a hat, and when you did your little spot, but you still crowd surfed. You jumped in with a puffy coat and crowd surfed, as I remember it, right? Isn't that?
Did I?
I thought you did.
I usually try to shy away from crowd surfing because, like, well, especially then I was like a lot fatter than I am now, but like, you know, being a large dude, you don't want to like hurt people, you know, like.
Or maybe you jumped. I can't remember, but I remember you did a jump and you had the big puffy jacket and like.
Yeah. You know what I did is I jump down to the barricade and kind of like do like reach over with a mic.
There you go. So maybe that's it. Yeah.
I do that a lot. Oh, I remember I had these like orange construction gloves because like I went there without any gloves. The only gloves they had at like TJ Maxx down the street from the hotel we were staying at was like these like stupid orange, like bright yellow construction gloves. I was like, yeah. So I can see how I looked like kind of a freak then.
Well, it was a match the spirit of the evening. I think it was perfect. Yes. So.
Mm-hmm. I've recently seen on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives that they have really good food there, which I wish I knew about in the 8 hours I was there. So we did get several delicious beers out of that deal. So that was nice.
So what's your favorite venue or city to play in when the guys play?
I would say, honestly, the London weekend's probably my favorite. It's just a blast, like those shows. Have any of you guys made it over to those?
Not yet.
I have not. That's what I definitely want to hit.
Highly recommended. And like we actually, you know, stay in the same neighborhood as the venue, so we can just like walk and you know, back and forth. Like that, you know, that component when we're staying like close enough to the venue where we're not relying on like Ubers and like, you know, cranky Dave Burton trying to get us rides to and from somewhere. It's always nicer to be able to kind of handle that on your own. I really like Seattle. That was a good one. Brooklyn's always great. Like that's, you know, that's like the family reunion weekend, you know?
Right.
And, you know, bars open to 4, so I can actually make it out after the show, you know? So that's always nice. Chicago's a blast. I'm surprised we haven't been back to Chicago recently, but I think overall, like London's my favorite one.
Yeah, I'm dying to go see the guys there. This last time you guys played, we were able to get two people who were at the show who are from London on the podcast, and I would have loved to be at the Moth Club show, man. That sounded like a blast.
Dude, that place is the size of my apartment, which is not very big. Like, I remember walking in there, and it's like, like sometimes you walk in a venue, and I just like, wait, they're playing in here? And I remember going to the promoter rep, I'm like, hey, how many tickets do you sell for this? They're like, $350. And I was like, where are they going to go? This place like 100 people uncomfortably. I didn't think you'd really sit on stage. There's no like even like walkway to get like, they'd like walk through the crowd and like hop up on the stage like to get. Like, there wasn't even a walkway.
During loadout, they were like passing equipment over the crowd. Basically. Yes. So now which would you say is smaller, that or 7th Street?
Moth Club is smaller.
Oh, really? Wow. So that's really small then.
I mean, oh, that's close. I know the guys love 7th Street Entry. It's not my favorite. really unreliable merch area, you know?
Yeah. Like
they just stick me next to the bar, and then like the bartender's like, stay the fuck out of my way. And I'm like, well, they literally put me in your way. I don't know what you want me to do. But. So that's always a challenge. Huge fan of Fifth Avenue, though. That's that side of the club. I do love.
It's awesome.
Yep.
I was going to say, have you ever been the kid camped out at the coat check as being the merch guy? Like, have they ever put you in a closet?
I have had to vend out a few coat checks in my day, yes. I have been, in fact, the kid camped out of the coat check. Thank you, yes. Actually, at 17th entry, I'd probably rather be in the coat check.
Oh, so that kind of leads me into the question I was going to ask you. Now, I think Craig wrote the lyrics, like, somebody associated with the band said, "This toast is gross," and then like 5 years later he wrote it into a song or whatever. So as far as you know, has anything you ever said or did ever made it into a Hold Steady song?
I don't think so. That doesn't mean that's a no. Because like, there could be something in there that just went right the hell over my head. You know, it happens a lot. But I gotta say that, "This toast is gross," like, I love how that has kind of turned into a thing. Like, I'm actually seriously considering making a "This Toast is Gross" t-shirt.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh,
that would be huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My wife actually made like a bootleg "This Toast is Gross" t-shirt. So it totally would go over.
Has anybody started throwing toast at shows? Has it turned into the Rocky Horror Picture Show yet? Or, I mean, has that started yet or not?
I mean, I might start keeping stale bread at the merch area for such purposes.
I mean, we're getting close between the confetti and the keyboard ties and like.
Yeah, I mean, I have had to smuggle many a bag of confetti into venues for people. That's definitely been a thing. I'm not gonna, you know, say who's asked me to do it or whatever. But, you know, I'm like, hey, can you just bring my backpack to the merch area with you now that you're walking into the club, coming back from dinner? I'm like, yes, I'll put my backpack on and bring it to the merch area.
We heard Denver was an issue with, or was Atlanta? It was Atlanta was the issue with the confetti this time around.
Yeah, you know, some venues just get really bummed out. They're like, well, you didn't advance confetti. Like, we didn't bring confetti. Like, people walk through the door with, like, it's, and also it's pieces of paper.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. Sorry you had to sweep, you know, like, you know, do I want to sweep after bartending for 10 hours? No. Do I have to? Yes. You know, like, come on.
I think the most amazing thing I've seen with the confetti is at Brooklyn Bowl the one year they had the shooters up in the ceiling. That was unreal. The last night it was just like, oh, you want to have confetti? Yeah. We'll show you confetti.
And like sometimes, and I'm glad that like the fans have really latched on to like not bringing the metal confetti and just bringing paper confetti. That's a huge part. So like whenever like the metal stuff comes out, that's like, that's what gets in the gear. Like, you know, like you get that into in a stage monitor and it's like, it takes hours to clean. Like, I remember that happened in Nashville and I was like, guys, come on, paper.
Well, this can be our public service announcement then for everybody to use paper confetti at future Hold Steady shows.
Please use paper, and you know, sometimes I have to be the mule.
That's okay. So give us your top three Hold Steady songs.
Okay. Shit. Well, I mean, I imagine I have to throw Stay Positive in there.
Have to.
I love Stevie Nicks. It's just a jam. And The Weekenders.
Nice.
Perfect.
There was a whole weird thing with the horses. I think they know exactly what happened. I don't think it needs any explaining. Pretty sure I wasn't your first choice. I think I was the last one remaining. I wish we hadn't gone and destroyed it. Cause I was thinking we could pull another Weekender. If you still got a little bit of clairvoyance.
You know, the grown-up Chips Ahoy, if you will. That's the one whenever it comes in the set, I'm like, ooh. So yeah, I'd go with those three.
Awesome. I know you said you kind of have like a metal background. Where does you call it rapping, singing? What kind of, you know, the style you do? Is it kind of sounds like 90s rap to me. I don't know.
it's, I mean, I'd like to think it's like hardcore style, but like people don't, you know, necessarily, not everybody's familiar with that. So some people like call me a rapper, and then like my friends like to like make fun of me for being a rapper. Like, hey, can I do that? You rap tonight? I'm like, ah, you bastard. Like, I don't know. I'm just yelling because I can't sing, you know, like. You want to see it some a terrible time? See me do karaoke. Oh man, I can butcher Weedus's teenage dirtbag like nobody's business.
That sounds like a great idea for this year's New York shoots.
Honestly, I kind of love doing it like a karaoke night after a whole study show. I think that would probably be like the like one of the most fun after parties you could possibly do.
That would be a blast.
Wow.
Maybe we'll have to try to set that up somewhere.
Awesome.
Bust out my killer rendition of Ice Ice Baby.
There you go.
I know all the words.
Warm beer to the summer smoke, and the meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
We do a segment called "The Meatloaf to the Billy Joel," where we ask people to like give us a band that you think every Hold Steady fan should know, or a band that you think kind of sounds like the Hold Steady.
I'm going to leave a plug to my friend Mark Schwaber, who's just a super talented songwriter, who's also a very good storyteller like Finn. And he does he plays mostly acoustic, but he's like super virtuoso, very talented.
Everything seems safer when I'm wearing masks that save me from all the fear that leaps around and shakes my hands. No one ever notices. I keep the fooling shield up to save me from the mornings with my burning brain. Snow-covered volcano.
I'd actually love to see him open up for the study someday.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's like, you know, a lot of, kind of like the Americana, you know, singing about the trauma of the American experience, you know, very similar to what Craig does. So I got to give a shout out to Mark Schwaber.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for taking the time with us. This is a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, cool, man. Thanks for having me.
I think it went over great. It's good. Yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, hope I didn't get too much trouble telling that Manchester story.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
No. Yeah.
I didn't name any names except for Dusty, who, you know, he did get back alive, by the way.
Okay.
Well, there you go. It's always some guy named Dusty that starts the trouble. That's
right. Yep. So. It's always getting into dust ups.
Yeah. All right. So we want to thank Mosh Pit Josh for being a guest on the show. This was a lot of fun. And as always, you can find us on Facebook. Just look for the Hood Rat Recap Podcast. We're on Twitter at Hood Rat Recap. We did start a Discord, Hood Rat Recap. You can find us there. And as always, you can send us an email to thehoodratrecap@gmail.com. So again, I want to thank Mosh Pit Josh for being our guest. That was a lot of fun. We want to thank Kevin, our new producer. Great job today. And I'm Gasper. That's Mike. That's Kevin. And that's Mosh Pit Josh. And us guys. And all you guys. We are all the Hood Rat Recap.